Would you turn to Colossians 3 if you're not already there and stay there? Because I do feel like we want to put this in context. But here's what we're going to see this morning as we look. We've been studying what corporate worship looks like, especially here at Covenant Community Church. Why do we do it the way we do it? And we've done this in 3 weeks. The first thing we've done is ask the question, what is worship, really? Like, what are we doing when we come together to worship? And we found out that it's a worship that is in spirit and truth. It's something that's personal, internal, heartfelt, that happens in each and every one of us. And then as we come together, we get to do it as a body, right? That's an amazing thing. So this internal, heartfelt, personal thing that's happening in us has an even greater effect when we come together as a church to do it as the body of Christ. But we need to do that in spirit and in truth. We need to do that through Christ. And here's one of the amazing things we found out about that. God sought you out. God sought you out to change your heart for him. And we see that in these verses again today, where it says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, he came for you. The Lord has forgiven you. Be thankful for it. Right? Automatically, that should just give us a thankfulness to God that he saw us and has changed our hearts, right? With thankfulness in your hearts to God, giving thanks to God the Father. This is something God has done for us. He has brought us together. Amen? Isn't it good to be here under the banner of Christ together? And that's what this goes to next, right? We're to give thanks to God the Father through him. Through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we see. Put on then as God's chosen, what's holy and beloved, as the Lord has forgiven you, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we looked at last week. Why is our worship service set up the way it's set up here at Covenant Community Church? Not meaning it's the only way, not meaning it can't be done different at times, but we've just determined as a church that we want to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and we've set our service up to do that. We want to hear the word proclaimed, we want to respond to the word, and we want to live that word out as need be. So the last question I want us to ask in all of this for each of us individually as we come together is, how can we be faithful to doing this well? How can we be faithful to coming together and worshiping well? And I think we see it in this first sentence, put on then. And here's what he's referring to, put on Christ. So if you're at Colossians 3, here's where I think we need context. What does it mean to put on Christ as we come together to worship? So Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. Again, just to put this in context so we understand where the whole chapter is coming from. What does it mean to put on Christ? What am I talking about when I say that? What's Paul talking about when he says that? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave free, but Christ is all and in all. Here's why I wanted to read that. Here's what this is telling you. In one sense, you've already put Christ on, right? When you've placed your faith in him, Christ is already on you. In another sense, we have a responsibility to continue to put him on. So each morning, every day, all of our lives is about putting Christ on so that we glorify God throughout the week, and then when we come together on Sunday, we glorify God while we're here as well. It's all about putting on Christ. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let me pray for us, and we'll do this well. Father, thank you for bringing us all here. Thank you for seeking us. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for allowing us to come together. Lord, there are so many reasons we could come up with, so many excuses to not come and worship you. But Lord, you have brought us here. And I'm thankful for each and every one of us that are able to make it. And for those who aren't, Lord, we pray that your spirit be with them. And as we praise you this morning, we pray that they too are praising you in spirit and in truth. Until we can meet again, Lord, help us this morning as the body learn how to love one another well. Help us to put on Christ as you have called us to. And help us do it in a way that brings honor and glory to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So just a few just calls to us this morning. And here's the first one. Devote yourself fully to Christ. Right? So when I say put on Christ, that means be willing to deny yourself completely for him. And that's what we see here. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. That's who you are. Do you hear that? We just went over this in 1 Peter as well, and we can't hear it enough. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. God's word says the same thing about Christ. That's who you are. Do you hear that, and do you believe that this morning? Because you will never be fully devoted to him until you fully trust this. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He sought you. He brought you here. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay? Now, we have purpose in this. And here's what this means to fully devote yourselves to Christ. It means dying to yourself, right? Colossians 3, verse 3 that I just read through. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is not about you anymore. And far too often, we make it about us. It's not about us anymore. We are to put that off. All that stuff is evil and slanderous. Put that stuff off. Put on Christ. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. There's an active part of this. We have to constantly do this. You know this because when you leave here today, your mind's going to drift and you're going to have to bring it back. Okay? I've been fighting with it all morning, as I'm sure you all have. I've been fighting with it all week, as I'm sure you all have. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This should be freeing for you because this means Christ has done it all. We've sung about that this morning. It is he who has done this all for us. Therefore, we should be willing to put this on and wear it as a badge of honor. Paul understood this. You've seen these verses before. I'm going to show them to you again just to really bring out this point. You need to fully devote yourself to Christ. He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. You put on Christ by looking like Christ. That's what he did for you. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Right? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Am I going to fully devote myself to what Christ is calling me to do with my life? Or am I going to continue to live for myself? Now listen to this next part. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I told Ryan, he did it again, that first song this morning. You laid down your life that I would be set free. No more trying to earn God's favor. No more trying to work our way to heaven. He's done it. And now he's asking us to be ambassadors for him and go out and stop living for ourselves and share him with others. What an amazing thing. How can we not want to do this? How can we not want to devote ourselves fully to Christ? Paul totally understood this. But Paul gets it because it's what Christ taught. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, this is Christ speaking, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It's all about Jesus. He is the living hope. So fully devote yourself to Christ. And when we're here, this is when these are things that characterize Christ, these compassionate hearts, right? So we're to put them on. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Doesn't happen without him being in you. These are characteristics of Christ. But in verse 14, he goes on to say this, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now here's the problem. We love to throw this love word around. It needs to be defined, okay? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life. How do we know what love is? Christ personified it. Christ came. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Doesn't this make you want to devote yourself fully to him? If you're in Christ this morning, that's what he's calling you to do. That's what his word is saying. It's come back to this. The moment you forget about this is the moment you start living for yourself again and not for him. We're living in response to what he's done for us. But look at the plea that comes after that. This is how we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Here's what they're saying. You lay down your life for Christ, you devote yourself fully to him, and you lay down yourself for Christ, body, the church. That's the next part. So devote yourself fully to Christ. Devote yourself fully to Christ's body. That's us. Remember, we talked about this last week. There is no weak part. The parts that are weak are all important to the body. Okay? So we all do this together. So again, we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. What's that look like? It looks like this. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Here's what this is saying. God gave us his word, but that's not all he did. God worked among us. He came. Christ came, he laid down his life for us. He showed us what it looks like. And he's saying, you do the same. You do the same. If you have these things, notice this doesn't say it's bad to have the world's goods. That's not the bad part. The bad part is not using them in the way they're meant to be used. They're meant to be used to build up the body. And if you have these things and aren't building up the body, how does God's love abide in you? And this goes for everything. Steph and I have been struggling with parenthood, right? We go in seasons. It's good sometimes. We had to realign ourselves again last night. Because when your husband's a pastor and you have to preach through passages like this, you start thinking of all the ways you're failing, right? We've been blessed with many things. Are we using them to build up our children? Are we constantly nitpicking ourselves to find out how we can make our children perfect? Instead of pointing them to Christ. Isn't that the point? Because oftentimes when we're trying to make perfect children, here's what we're doing. We're living for ourselves because we want them to be a reflection of us. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to make them a reflection of Christ. So we do that in the way we parent. We do that in the way we give our finances. We do that in the way we live in our homes. We do that in the way we share our homes. Are you willing to be fully devoted to one another? Because that's what this word is calling us to do. If you're devoted to Christ, you're devoted to Christ's body, because the only way we truly reflect to the rest of the world what Christ looks like is by loving one another. And that's what we continue to see Jesus say, right? Jesus gave us a new commandment when he came and laid down his life. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. How did he love us? He laid down his life for us. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. These things I command you so that you will love one another. There's a lot of one another's in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, asking us to come together and do this to one another. Again, it's not an individual thing only. It happens individually, but it's to bring us together because Christ is in all. So we are to do this as a body. And Paul fully understands this. Remember our study of Philippians. It's been a while. Some of you might not have been here for that. But Paul says this. Now, watch how he's putting on Christ here. Ready? For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. What's that look like? Let me remind you, because he goes on to say something else. These are some of my favorite verses. I didn't put them on the screen. But this really gives us the sense of how we are to come together for one another. All right? Listen to this. Because Paul yearns for them with the affection of Christ, that's something that Christ has put onto Paul for his brothers and sisters. Listen. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For Paul personally, take this life, I don't want it. You can have it because Christ is my life, right? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now listen, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. You feel that way? Huh? Are you going to feel that way when you leave here? Are you going to feel that way when you wake up for work tomorrow? Paul felt this way every day of his life, even as he's sitting in chains because of the gospel that he's proclaiming. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. The body's account. That's why I'm here. God has me here for a purpose for you all. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. This is my prayer every week that I have to preach the word, because it better be God's word, and I better be doing it out of a heart for you, because otherwise, I'm in a wrong place. This cannot be done for notoriety. This cannot be done for my living. This cannot be done for my own life. This can only be done for your progress and joy in the faith. And you all are to do the same for me and Eric and anyone else who gets up here. We are to lay down our lives for each other because Christ is our life. We're all to be plugged into him. That's the way this works. So devote yourself fully to Christ's body. Let it look like that. Is it truly to live as Christ, to die as gain? But if I'm here, I'm here for your joy and your progress. That's where we should be. All right. If we're doing that, how does this all tie into this worship series? Here's what I'm going to plea of you this morning. Devote yourselves fully to Sunday morning worship, all right? Not that this is the only time that we come together, not that this should be the only time or anything like that, but this should be the time where the body of Christ comes. Listen, the world is watching whether you think so or not. Your children are watching whether you think so or not. Your spouses are watching whether you think so or not. Your friends and family, they're all watching whether you think so or not. Can you not set aside one morning to come and worship Christ together? Seriously, like, is 1 hour enough? Can we be fully devoted to this? And here's all I mean by that. Can we prioritize these things in our life? Can we make these the first things and let everything else flow from that? I am thankful every opportunity we get to do this. And then here's the hard part for me. I can come into this thinking this is a job. Some people think pastors only work on Sunday, okay? I have to prepare my heart for worship here. So Sunday morning should be a time of that for me and for you, for us all to come together and do this well and give God the glory that he deserves, okay? So here's why I think this helps us. In verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. We talked about this a little bit last week, so I'm not going to get too in-depth into it, but I just wanted to remind us of a few things. Here's this, Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. It's a problem when you're alone. We need each other. A man needs a wife, and we all need each other. We can't just go out there being rogues. It's not going to happen. Who's going to hold you accountable? Who's going to love you when you need loved? Who's going to heal you when you hurt? We need each other. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Not Jed said, not you said, God said. In his eyes, it's not good that the man was alone. Therefore, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. So don't neglect this. Again, devote yourself to Sunday morning. If this is the only thing that you can devote yourself to during the week, listen, we have Bible studies. We have other things that you can be a part of too. But can you just fully devote yourself to this one? Because when God's people come together, something special happens. So can we devote ourselves? Can we not neglect meeting together on this morning? Like I said earlier, there are so many excuses we can make for not coming. But boy, doesn't it do you well to see all the body come together? And when you're missing, doesn't it do you well to know that you were missing from the body? Like when you come back, where were you last week? That's a good thing. One, it holds us accountable. And two, it lets us know that the body really does love us. And here's his other plea in this. Do it all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you can make time for more, if you can make Wednesday night a thing, if Thursday night a thing, or have a small group that you get together with, if you can do that, do it. Why? Because the day is drawing near. It's going to get harder to do this. We are going to be distracted more and more. I don't know if you've recognized this, but our schedules are packed. We're full. Can we make sure we're fully devoted to Sunday morning and make sure we're here loving on one another and getting the food that we truly need? Can we do that? And amazing things happen when we do. 1 Corinthians 11:17, this is not supposed to be on there. I thought I deleted that. That's coming later, sorry. Distractions, see what I mean? Romans 15:5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Here's what he's assuming. He's assuming that you're coming together to meet, period. Some of the compliments we get from newcomers to the church when they first come here is that we are a welcoming bunch, okay? Listen, anybody can be a welcoming bunch. Are we welcoming people in Christ, with Christ on? Are we doing it with the love of Christ? That's how we're to do that, right? Look at that. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Did any of you deserve to be welcomed by Christ this morning? No, we sung about it. Our worth is not in ourselves. None of us deserve it, and yet Christ welcomed us anyways. So are we willing to welcome whoever walks through that door with the love of Christ for the glory of God? How do we do that? We lay down our lives for them. We're not worried about what they think about us. We're worried about what they think about Christ. So devote yourself fully to Sunday morning. Let's come together. Let's build one another up, okay? Now, here's the last thing. So those things are all more the internal parts of things, right? That personal, heartfelt, what's going inside. So can you do those three things? That's my plea for all of us. I believe that's what God's word would have us to say about coming together to worship. Devote yourself fully to Christ. Devote yourself fully to his body. Devote yourself fully to Sunday morning amongst others, okay? And then come to worship prepared. And we're just going to go through this again. And I want to start with verse 15 again. It starts here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Here's what this means. Please don't let there be division here. Come with the peace of Christ among you as one body. When you neglect coming together, you're not allowing the peace of Christ. Here's what that means. We're all different. I've said this before. I'll say this again and again. We're all different. We all come from different walks. We all have different mannerisms and things that we're quirky. It's okay. But some of that quirkiness rubs us the wrong way. We need to be willing to set that aside for Christ and let there be peace among us rather than allow that to cause something that divides us. Well, this group's going to go do their own thing, and this group's going to do their own thing. No, we need to do this as a body. The eye can't do without the mouth, and the ear can't do without the eye, and the little toe. We need that. Okay? We're to do that together as a body in peace, and let it be seen. So put on then. So the peace of Christ, remember first that peace was given to you through forgiveness, and that's why it's highlighted in white. So here's where it starts. Understanding the peace of Christ in your own life as the Lord has forgiven you. All right, take a moment. We're going to do this again at communion. Take a moment now and reflect on how Christ has forgiven you. How big is your list? Okay? Nobody wants me to put a video of the last 24 hours of their life up on the screen right now, right? So you look at your life, you think about your life. And you think about the peace that Christ has given you because of how much he's forgiven you. You don't have to look at anybody else. Just look at yourself. And once you understand that, now this peace is going to flow from you. So start there. Once you start there, now we can get to the next parts. Listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, and he's talking about this woman who was a wretch, okay? Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. If you don't think your list is that big, you're not going to be able to forgive the way Christ has forgiven you. So take a good, honest look at your life and see how much Christ has forgiven you. And then, this helps us to bear with one another, right? So here's what he means by bearing with. Look at Romans 15. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. There it is, laying our lives down again. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. This is simply saying Christ didn't have to come to earth. He chose to. For you, out of love for you. You do the same for one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, right? So as the Lord has forgiven you, you forgive each other. And Eric shared on this a few weeks ago. So again, I'm not going to go in depth. Here's what I think this is saying, though. One, we need to be making sure that we're seeking reconciliation in our lives. Right? So if you are, this is what Christ says, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Right? So here's what this is saying. Before you come on Sunday morning, if you truly want to be prepared for Sunday morning, have you offended somebody in some way? Have you truly sinned against somebody in some way? Are you willing to go and seek reconciliation? Are you willing to seek forgiveness in that? Do that before you come here so that you can truly worship in spirit and in truth. That's what Christ is saying. Christ is saying, great, you have a sacrifice. Listen, it's easy to put a piece of paper in the offering basket. It's harder to make sure your heart's clean when you do that. So Christ is saying, take care of this stuff. Check your own life. Have you sinned against a brother? Go seek forgiveness from that. Be reconciled. But now there's a flip side to this as well. Look at what Jesus then says. He's talking to his disciples here. Pay attention to yourselves, right? So that's that first part. Have you done anything that needs forgiveness? Now here's the flip side. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Like go into it already knowing you're going to forgive him. It's already done. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, and he turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. You can't do that if you don't recognize how the Lord has already forgiven you. So be there. There's two sides to it, okay? So be consistent in seeking reconciliation and also accountability for that, right? Here's the other part of all this. Pay attention to yourselves means come alongside brothers and sisters and be okay with them speaking life into you. Be okay with that. Be open to that. That's not going to happen if we're not coming together. That's where the whole full being fully devoted comes in. All right. And then this last part, okay? So these are more suggestions because last week I went over verses 16 through 17, but here's what this means. Sunday morning is awesome, and it is a great culmination of all of our lives, all of our individual lives and our individual worship coming together and praising God. Be consistent with this during the week, and you'll be consistent with it here. So if you remember, I said this, right? I said, here's our goal as we come together and worship as the church. We want to read the word. We want to preach the word. We want to sing the word. We want to pray the word. We want to see the word. Here's my plea this morning. Do this every day. Let your private worship become your corporate worship. So I want you to do this at home. I believe the Lord wants you to do this at home. You read it. You preach it. How many of you have preached the gospel message, either to yourself or to someone else? Are you doing that? You should be. Because most of us are scared to do it because we haven't done it. So do it. Sing it. Oh, please sing it. Go home and sing it. Sing it when you leave here. Sing it when you get home. Sing it throughout the week. Okay? Pray it. In essence, here's what I'm saying. Are you being consistent with your individual and family devotions? Because how are we going to know how much Christ has forgiven us if we're not soaking it in, how much he's actually forgiven us, if we're not looking at the word and seeing it? So my plea is do this. Be consistent with this, all right? And I believe that's biblical. Our whole life is to be that, all right? So be consistent in seeking accountability and reconciliation. Be consistent with individual and family devotions. And now I'm going to make some suggestions that aren't commands. They aren't need-tos. I just hope these help you, all right? So not commands, okay? Here's a help that I've found for myself and my family needs to get back to it. Sunday worship begins Saturday night, okay? Now here's what I mean for that. When you get ready for work, the night before, you probably have things all set in order so that when you get up, you're ready to go, right? So you've planned out what you're going to do tomorrow. You know what work's going to look like. You have that all planned before you go to bed. Do the same thing for Sunday morning worship. Just block off Saturday night. Maybe you're going to go to bed early so that you can get up early and prepare yourself for worship on Sunday morning with your church family. Not a command, just a help, okay? Because here's what I know. We have a lot of young families in here, and we have a lot of kids, and I love your kids, and I hope you all love my kids, and I know it can be crazy, and here's where I'm feeling a little like maybe I shouldn't be saying anything because I'm not home on Sunday morning with my family. I'm here. So she's getting the kids ready, but I know she has a routine for Sunday morning, probably more so than the rest of the week because our life looks a little different than some of y'all's, right? But for myself personally, I have to set out my clothes on Saturday night because otherwise Sunday morning I'm going to be a wreck. Seriously, okay? I have to. I did that last night before I went to bed. I get my clothes and I set them on my dresser so that decision's done in the morning. Maybe you should do that for you and your kids. Don't have to. It might help. Because I know with 5 kids and the way my kids don't like to wear shoes, as they're leaving out the door, it might take a while to find those shoes. Are you truly prepared for worship after running around looking for shoes and socks and Lord knows what else? So again, just a suggestion, but protect that night as much as possible. That way you're not rushing out. Now, next week we get back to expository preaching, which I'm looking forward to, and let me help you out. We are going to be studying through the gospel according to Mark. Here's a help. Read through chapter 1 this week. engage yourself with the text. Read it before you come. Talk about it with your family. Talk about it with your friends. Talk about it with each other, right? That way you already have questions, you already have thoughts about the text, and then when Eric gets up here and preach next week, maybe some of those questions get answered. Maybe they don't. But here's what's awesome. You've engaged the text. God's been working on your heart before you came. You can come talk to Eric or myself after we give a message and ask us more about the passage if you want. I would love it. Eric would love it. God would love it. You would grow from it. We would grow from it. We don't all ask the same questions. Are we willing to do that? So just another help. You don't have to, but would you consider reading the text before we come? That's another thing I love about expository preaching. You know what's coming next. Just read the next few verses. See if you can figure out how we're going to divide it up. Read chapter 1. Do we have it divided into 2 or 3, right? Just do that. All right. And then lastly, and I hope this helps, okay? And I don't have anybody in mind. Please don't hear me doing that. Come early. Come 15 minutes early, okay? Listen. We love being together. We are welcoming, right? It would be awesome to have that all toned down instead of rushing in here at 10 o'clock. I'm not calling anyone out. All right? Give yourselves 15 minutes to get caught up with your brothers and sisters and focused on what you're about to do. And with that 15 minutes, do that. Focus on what you're about to do. And then after service, talk about what's happened during the week, okay? This is just something that's been pressed on my heart. I'm not up here to try and discipline or give anyone a spanking or anything like that, okay? I love greeting you all beforehand when we come in. I love doing that. I love getting our hearts ready for that because I know as the body comes together, we're going to be singing the words of God. We're going to be hearing the words of God. I want to be living the words of God with you. Give yourself ample time for that. Sunday morning is a serious deal for us at Covenant Community Church. Let's make it serious. Can we be fully devoted to those things? So when you come together to worship, let's put on Christ in all those ways. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us and then have those who are helping with communion, could you please come forward? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the series. We thank you for learning about why it is that we come together and how, as a body, something awesome happens, Lord. We are able to proclaim your word in a way when we come together that we can't do by ourselves. So thank you for that. Thank you for the reminders it gives us. Thank you for the building up and encouragement it brings to us, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the way it changes our lives. Would you help us from this day forward be fully devoted to Christ in everything throughout our whole week. Lord, would you help us be fully devoted to one another, your body. Lord, as we continue to strive to build one another up and love each other more than we love ourselves, Lord. Father, would you help us be fully devoted to Sunday mornings and all that that brings with it. And we thank you so much for the opportunities we have to do that. Father, would you, knowing that you already are and you already will be, we still ask, would you be fully devoted to us as we come together and strive to be the people you've called us to be, your chosen ones, holy and beloved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.